thinking beer. Oh no, I've given you an non-alcoholic, haven't I? Oh,
Don't need that. Although I might with this temperature.
Holy
oh, she's no. a warm one.
It is moist. The state of my grundle right now. It's like a tropical rainforest. Like meets a swamp, basically. It's rank. Is that the great way to start a new year?
We're back!
Talking about my grundle.
It's rugby time.
It's rugby time. It's very, very moist here.
My gosh, it's so hot today.
It's very, very hot in New Zealand, which it has. It's been all over the shop this particular summer season.
I spent the weekend at the beach, both days.
Yeah, it was
days.
Lovely. It was lovely over the weekend, both but we've days. Had a lot of rain. It's almost like our wet season now, like January.
I missed most of the rain.
But we had a ton of it.
I came back from China.
You got the big storm when you came back, didn't you?
I missed the storm, but I came back to just kind of wet rain patchy rain every day for the first week or so.
But then like the last week has just been nice blue sky days. Been pretty good. And then today's been the first like stinking
29 degrees.
But then with rain.
With rain, so it's been very humid.
So the rain comes down, then it steams off and there's just so much heat coming off the ground and like
yes.
And it all just goes straight to my grundle.
That's right. Like 29 degrees doesn't sound that bad, but it's the humidity.
It's New Zealand. Auckland is a shocker for humidity.
Yes.
Even folks who come from hot places, they go,
this is horrible.
This is very sticky.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of things that are moist, but this is what should be moist. This is a Chinese craft beer we've got here today.
Well, I've been in China for the last 3 weeks or so.
And it matches your shirt.
Look at that.
It's not Welsh, it's Chinese.
Exactly.
And I've been struggling. I've been trying to open this for like the last little while, but... look at this. Look at this. This is a whole operation at
this
the top.
This is why
here.
You tune in, folks.
Yeah. Should we get a little ASMR on this job?
Let's get it
or
in there.
Or did you want to do it yourself?
No, you go ahead.
Fuck me, that could have gone anywhere. Dear, oh dear.
How does it smell?
It smells a bit like cider.
Okay.
And when I say that, I mean like compost. Yeah, isn't it? A little watermelon-y cider. That's what it smells like. But it's a watermelon craft beer from China.
Mm. Oh, it doesn't smell great.
Maybe just give me a little one. You want me to do a little tester first?
Yeah.
I said to Mark today that I want to be on the non-alcoholics.
I asked him why, and he said because he's trying to shed a few kegs.
Shedding kegs, shredding for the wedding. I'm getting married in a month or two. Oh, look at the colour of that. Holy smokes.
That's a colour.
If you washed out my grundle right now and rinsed it, it would come out of that. I've got to stop talking about my grundle. It's very non-appealing.
That's like your third grundle reference, and we're only like a couple of minutes in.
I think I've met my grundle quota for the whole year already.
Yeah.
And we're 5 minutes in, if that. I'm just going to have a little sip of this, jobby, into the hole.
Down the hatch, maybe? No, into the hole.
Quite pleasant, quite refreshing in a way.
Actually, for a summer's day, with this heat?
This is great, actually. I'm going to go pour myself a whole one.
The cool watermelon?
Oh,
it works. It just works. Well done, China.
It does feel very sugary. I won't do a full, because you probably won't get another one out of that. Anyway, cheers to you, Michael. Michael couldn't make it tonight, so here's Mark. Cheers to you, Mark.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Talking some rugby.
Oh. Does that taste like a beer to you?
It tastes like a beer, but something went wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very...
It's almost like beer or cider, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's not even like a... You know, have you ever had many sours?
No.
Have we ever had a sour on the podcast? I'm sure we have. Didn't we have like that spicy pickle...
Yes, we did.
Chili? That was a sour.
Okay.
There was a lot going on with that particular drink. But there's a lot going on with this particular drink.
Mm.
It's quite drinkable.
Maybe I'm just hot, but it's doing the thing.
Yeah. But we had a delightful sponsor that got this for us.
We did.
Should we get that done? Sponsor part.
The sponsor part.
By the way, is this the first episode? Are we in season 4 or season 5?
I think we're in the new season. We did an emergency bonus episode when Razor got disposed of.
By the way, I technically said that was episode one for the new season.
Okay, so we're episode two.
Because
so
the last last episode of every season is the Toosie Jetties. Okay, so
we're not really back.
It's what everybody...
We're back in the same room.
Yes.
That's something.
This is the podcast where you had a little Zoom thing where we had a little panic attack at each other.
Yes.
Well,
we're going to talk about that.
We will.
And some Six Nations.
And any hot takes on Super Rugby?
Yeah, Super Rugby's coming as well.
Yeah, oh, so much to look forward to. We sound like a proper rugby podcast for a second.
With a grundle.
A moist grundle. Look, there's so many people who are queasy out there. You see comments out there of people like, you don't need to say that foul stuff. You don't need to swear.
And then there are other people who are like, bring on the foul stuff. I live for the foul stuff.
Yeah, I want to be right in it. I'm a mucky bastard. Yeah.
Life is a rich tapestry.
It sure is. And wherever you sit on that tapestry, welcome along, strap in, and enjoy.
There's a Chinese saying. Shall I tell it to you?
He who goes to bed with an itchy bottom wakes up with a smelly finger.
Essentially, it sounds better in Chinese because it kind of rhymes, but it essentially translated.
Say it in Chinese first, and I'll see if I can translate it.
Okay. 萝卜白菜各有所爱.
Say it again, please.
萝卜白菜各有所爱.
So, if you put your pad thai, not that that's Thai food, where it shouldn't go, you'll end up with a soy ass.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, okay.
A lorbo is a turnip.
Oh, yes.
Bai tai is what we would call bok choy, like a leafy green vegetable.
Yeah.
It basically says turnips, bok choy, everybody likes what they like. You can like turnips, you can like bok choy, like both. Whatever you want. Everyone's got different tastes.
I think that says a lot about...
Would the equivalent be like different strokes for different folks?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that works well in English because it kind of rhymes.
Yeah, absolutely. Rhymes stick a lot better.
They do.
Than
turnips and bok choy.
Turnips and bok choy. Who gives a shit what you like? But it makes me laugh that the thing that they draw a massive sort of antithesis against each other is turnips and bok choy. Like,
they're very different.
With tomato, apples tomato.
And oranges, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Apples and oranges, they're both fruit.
Yeah, exactly. Food-related stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way that we know how to compare things as a species. So we do have a podcast sponsor today.
And if you want to get in on some of this action.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Send me an email.
You'll have consumers you could have this kind of service knocking down your door. I feel like we're on quite a...
We're a bit of a downward slope.
Yeah.
With the camera angle.
I could, you know what? I really could fix this in post, and I never do.
You never do.
I never do.
You do all the editing, so I leave that with you. It's your editorial
decision. He's not actually downhill.
No.
All right, so, and what am I reading?
You're doing the ones with the T's. I'm doing the ones with the M's. So my first line goes like this. I open up.
I can't read your writing, so this is going to be difficult.
The Six Nations is back!
Fucking great.
Which means... It's time for the time-honored tradition of overreacting after one match.
Okay, correct. Someone was by wins. Oh, that's an A and an S. You got the writing of a fucking doctor. I guess wins by a point. I probably should have read that. Someone wins by a point and suddenly they're the greatest team in sporting history. Someone loses and they should cancel rugby.
Yeah, fans are known for an overreaction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we've got. Sports Forecast, who are the kind sponsors of today's video, who brought us these beers.
Thank you, watermelon beer. Appreciate it.
It's basically a fire extinguisher for rugby fans. Predictions, probabilities, form, matchups. It stops you saying stuff you'll regret by round two. Although, they have predicted Ireland to win the tournament, which they may come to regret.
All right. Oh, well, he's making a bold call immediately. Ireland, not Scotland. Why does he just writes me as a twat. He really has my voice. They should have beaten the All Blacks last year. And what... The one time you could beat in the All Blacks, this was when they were in that spot. Are they not the favourite? Are they not favoured?
Mm.
Not favourite? Okay, gotcha.
Are they not favoured? This is Scotland's year!
Again.
Like every year, until the first match happens.
Yeah. Unless it's against England, they usually do a pretty good shout against England. My God, and we haven't even mentioned France or England yet. What a tournament. Mark, I fucking love it.
Say it.
The Six Nations. Go fuck yourself.
No. That's not the line.
The Six Nations. Rugby. In a tournament between European nations.
That's not quite on the script. Let's give it another go.
Your last night is there we go.
No. You've still got to get your line.
Rugby's greatest... It was the thing.
No.
That's all you're getting. That's...
The line was rugby's greatest championship.
Yes.
He couldn't bring himself to say it.
Well, I just... They just can't say it.
They
just can't say they're the greatest championship. They have one World Cup amongst nine of them.
I'm supposed to say, there you go, growth.
Oh, okay, hold on. Well, let's do it properly. The Six Nations, rugby's greatest championship.
There we go, growth. Cheers to the folks at Sports Forecast.
Thank you
Forecast
very much for the beers.
For the beers. And appreciate if you want this kind of professional level advertising read on your
well, maybe we'll product do a print or out service. Next time.
Yeah, I should have printed it out.
Yeah.
I had a lot of stuff to bring.
Yeah, you did. Oh, speaking of which, should we look at this thing?
I promise we'll talk about some rugby, but for a first on Two Cents Gets Distracted.
Rugby's greatest podcast.
That you can say.
Yes.
We have a package.
Oh,
it's been,
here we go.
This has been sitting on...
Sitting on what?
My dick.
On your dick?
For a while. Beautiful. It's from our mate Brandon.
Was it outside?
Why do you open it? Because you can never get to open packages.
Was it for you or for the podcast?
It's for both of us.
Really?
Apparently you... But Brandon noticed that you said you never get...
I've never
been sent anything.
I'm not a big... I don't have a big channel or anything. What have we got here? Whoa! Riley, oh, this is cool, because these are the guys who sponsored us. Well,
yeah, this is Brandon who sponsored us before.
Riley Rugby. Yeah. I'm going to rock my hat.
Riley Rugby. If you're in...
Oh, I'm sweaty
is
balls.
Is it North or South Carolina?
North Carolina.
One of the Carolinas. Take where the Hurricanes are based.
Country road. Oh, top hat.
Look at that.
To the couple of Riley boys. Am I saying that right? It's Riley. And we've got a jersey. What on earth? Holy smokes. Two in here.
Yes.
Oh, man. This is a strip.
I believe it's one each.
Wow.
We can pick which one's which, I suppose.
Oh, look at that.
That's an MLR jersey.
Oh,
and this
dope.
One is...
Beach rugby.
There you go.
Oh, I'll let you choose. What do you want, mate?
Whichever one's bigger. I'll probably take that one. It's okay. Bigger.
Right.
I won't fit the smaller ones.
All right,
that one looks pretty nifty. What is that?
That is... Was that a Greek god of some description? Yeah, there's like a Greek man in there. This is a good gym shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Riley. That's very kind of you.
It's Brandon.
Oh, fuck you. Riley, the thing. But he was a past sponsor, and I feel like he's almost sponsored the episode again now.
Yeah, I know.
Way better than that bastard from Sports Forecast. That's awesome. Thank you so much, buddy. How good's that?
Rugby gear. You got some rugby gear sent to you.
Woo! I made it, motherfucker. I did it.
You did it.
I did it. I can retire now. Well, that's very kind of him. I feel so...
So sweaty.
It's really hot in this room.
Yeah.
This is going to be a... We should be coming back with a bang.
I might need to like put that shirt on for the drive home because I'm sweating.
How are my dragons?
Oh, dragons.
Sweat dragons.
Oh, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
I've never heard that term before.
You heard a dragon? What is the line? Have you heard of dragons? Yeah, because I'll be dragging my nuts across your face. Is that the one? Have you heard of a tape deck? Because I'll be taping my deck to your foreheads.
Goodness me.
Have you not heard these ones? No. Anyway, it is so moist in here.
Yeah, we're sweating buckets.
We really are. And we're really off to a flyer in 2026, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. Really well, thankfully, this is the second episode. The first episode was much higher quality.
Well, this is on your channel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great for me.
Well, we started with like 10 minutes of like solid Grundle talk.
Yeah.
Another 5 minutes of
some sponsorship and some gear.
Watermelon beer and then some gear. Oh man, I'm chuffed with Brandon sending that through.
Yeah, hell yeah, Brandon.
That's pretty dope.
Appreciate that.
How cool is that? But I guess we need to talk about some actual rugby.
There's another first, I think, for this podcast, in that this is, I think it must be our first podcast where we don't have an All Blacks coach.
Yes. We don't have a CEO, we don't have a high performance coach, and we don't have an actual coach.
What the fuck's going on in New Zealand rugby?
Even
Tony's partner,
who doesn't give a shit,
does not give a shit about rugby.
Nothing.
Well, as soon as I stepped in the door, apart from like, how's your holiday, we were talking rugby.
Yeah, she was like, what's happening with
Razor? Is there a new coach yet? Is Joe Joseph getting the job?
Yeah, she called him Joe Joseph. And we said,
Joe Schmidt, Jamie Joseph. But boom, maybe that's the team, wow. Joe Joseph.
They have a baby. Joe Joseph takes over.
Mm.
Holy smokes. That would be a good shout. But Joe Schmidt's not going to be involved, that's for certain. So, but that's an indicator to us it's in the zeitgeist, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, people are actually wanting
to hear about it. Non-rugby people are like, what's going on with the All Blacks coach?
100%. She did not ask us about the Six Nations or Super Rugby.
No.
I don't think she'd be able to name the teams in the Six Nations.
She'd get a couple if you told her it was in Europe, maybe?
If you didn't tell her it was in Europe,
okay.
I think she might guess one.
Okay.
But she was interested. She likes drama. She knows it's dramatic.
It is dramatic.
First time we've ever fired a All Blacks coach mid-cycle.
Yeah, it's usually bizarre because he was given a four-year mandate.
Yeah.
He was appointed before Fozzie was even gone.
That's right. Wow, there was so much pressure from fuckwits like me about, like, he's got to be in there. He's won 7 titles in a row. Mm. How are we not? The guy's got the Midas touch. He's going to take us to the promised land. And his expectations were so high. His grace period was, like, he had such a doting and loving, adoring.
He had an interesting combination of huge pressure from everything him touching turned to gold, but also because everyone loved and adored him for what he did, and he was kind of jovial and quite easy to chat with the journos. Like, he wasn't given much stick when things didn't immediately, like, we didn't blow England off the park when they toured here with his first series.
He looked way more, in the coach's box, he looked like a very tense coach, though, didn't he? Maybe I didn't pay that much attention to him, but he looked like a real happy-go-lucky guy in the coach's box when he was with the Crusaders. But inside the coach's box for the All Blacks, he just looked like he was right on edge. I thought, and then we talked about the word was trajectory.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't so much the win record.
That's what David Kirk kept talking about.
Trajectory. I watched your video.
You did.
It was painted that picture really, really interestingly.
Mm.
And I think the meters per carry one is the big...
It's a good catch-all generally for how well teams are doing. Like Wales, funnily enough, their numbers in that category are not very good.
Yeah.
The Wallabies in particular, the later end of the season, their numbers in that category were not very good. So the fact that we were living with them and not like England who are sky high, the Box who were a lot, like the Box are on a little bit of a downward, but they were still miles above us. A lot of teams were...
But at the end of the day, rugby's a game where you need to go forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Ultimately.
We weren't going forward that much.
We were getting worse.
And our backs just like... Did you do any stats around how many tries come from backlines?
No, I do probably have those numbers somewhere.
Because I feel like our backline, it was the most impotent backline year I can remember.
Mm.
Maybe like 98 or something like that.
Were
the worst numbers, but I can't remember... I can't remember us looking shitter, looking less dangerous.
Mm.
I think when we had we had sparks of the back line looking amazing because they had incredible individual skills, but working together as a cohesive unit, it just was not there at all.
No. We did have like the opposite though. We had grunty forward tries.
Yeah, especially that one game against Argentina.
Argentina in particular highlighted that.
Yeah.
And like other games like against France when they came here, like, it felt like, and again, if I looked up the stats, you'd probably find it paints the picture, but it felt like our guys would throw waves at them, and we weren't really getting that much penetration, and that when they got the ball, it seemed to be, you know, on the go for, we seemed to be not getting the kind of ability to stop them in the initial contact. You know, they were getting a fair few post-contact meters against us. It felt wrong.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And, I think we're not... I think probably this issue in itself, the whole Razor thing has been spoken about by so many people. We did a whole podcast on it.
Mm.
I think it's time to work out what the fuck is going on now, and we don't know.
No.
Like, we've been given these, was it about 5 days ago, there was a press release from NZR saying that their application process, you have to be have international experience,
yep,
and have to be a born New Zealander.
Mm-hmm.
So
it didn't narrow it down much from the candidates who were the favourites anyway. It just, there were a few left field comments like, oh, maybe Ronan O'Gara, yeah, or somebody, exactly, else. Like, it cuts any of those guys. I don't think they were in the conversation, yeah, anyway, but no. It puts the kibosh.
But surely there's got to be a day where we do get coached by a foreigner.
You reckon?
Well, eventually, one day, like, we coach everyone out. Like, the one thing that New Zealand exports more than our players is our fucking coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Our coaches have coached everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and the other thing is, after all the hype and trying to work out, you know, the front runner is Jamie Joseph, and what we got initially very excited by was the idea that
he and Tony Brown,
yeah, TB would come back with him, Brown Ball, the party boy, would come, but that has been shat on.
Yes, Tony himself came out and said he doesn't have an out clause.
Unless somebody just pulled a rabbit out of their hat.
Rusty came out and said, like, nah, he's with us until 2027, and basically said, Rusty said, if he, after 2027, he went to the All Blacks, you know, he wouldn't
begrudge him.
He wouldn't begrudge him, wouldn't get in his way. But until 2027, he's with the box.
He's with the box. Yeah. Which is a bit of a letdown. And the one player, the one coach, if Jamie Joseph comes through, the other assistant coach who had a decent level of success with Jamie Joseph in the past, funnily enough, is the man that has been given a huge amount of shit throughout this whole process, is Bloomin' Scott Hansen. So I heard murmurings that he could be one of the assistant coaches after all the shit, who actually stays part of the coaching setup.
Yeah.
Which, to me, isn't a fresh start. You know, like, he seemed to be, we have no idea what the hell was actually going on. There are so many unanswered questions inside that camp. What were the dynamics? What were the fractions? Where did allegiances lie?
Yeah.
Where did the actual main points of conflict come from?
There's going to be two interesting biographies to come out. One will be Razor's at some point, and one will be Artie Savia's, I imagine.
Yeah.
When Artie hangs up the boots, there'll in all likelihood be some kind of book. Every New Zealand player retires.
Brad Thorne just released his book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't ever read rugby books.
Right.
But I want to read his, because he's just such a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's called Champions Do Extra. Yeah, he's a freak. Anyway, I want to talk about him.
Mm.
He's a freak. Anyway,
but yeah, Race has kind of had the muzzle put on him at the moment, where he's not really allowed,
he's not even allowed to talk to the press.
Mm. So we don't know what's happening from his perspective.
Well, why isn't he allowed to talk to the press? He's almost a free agent. Was it just like a non-disclosure? Well,
it must be some kind of non-disclosure in his contract.
Fuck. He's not allowed to coach in another international team.
Not a tier one team anyway.
Yeah.
And
well, we could have seen him go to somewhere like, throw this out there, it's weird, Georgia?
Mm.
Something like that. Like, see what he does with those guys.
Mm. You know? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one to see where he ends up. Someone will want to snap him up.
Well, yeah, I heard that initially that Quinn's wanted him.
Right.
Edinburgh
re-signed their coach, who gets a lot of flack in the URC, like a day before.
Right.
They extended him. Edinburgh fans were kind of incredulous about the fact that we sacked our coach with such a record, and yet their coach, who's got a shit record, is like, oh, more years, pal.
Yeah. I think our sacking was far more to do with culture and what the product looked like on the field than results. Like,
I think it has to be a combination of the two, right? Like, if
74%, you don't get just fired just from that.
No, that's partly the reason I made that video, because everyone was like, oh, 74%, 74%, it's fine. Fozzie had worse than 74%, but the trajectory thing, I think, has some basis in fact. And then, even with all that, if the players were still like, nah, fuck you, Rose is the guy, I don't think he's getting sacked.
I think he would still be in it if he lost to Ireland and lost the Eden Park test, if the players were behind him.
Yeah, for sure.
And those would have been massive losses. It would, and the press would have been howling down his door.
Yeah.
But the fact that he didn't lose the Eden Park record, He was one game off getting
the slam.
Grand slam. Mm. If he beats England, does this still happen?
It's kind of like the Fozzie one. It's that one result, like the Ellis Park one for Fozzie. It's like, does your whole thing come down to one result?
But Fozzie had lost 5 out of 6 games going into that. Because he'd lost against Ireland, lost against France, lost 2 games.
Yeah, he lost 2 games to Ireland in that series.
And then lost the first one at Nombella. And the only one he won in those 5 games was the first test at Ian Park.
Mm.
So if he managed to keep his job through that.
But the contrast was the players coming out and saying, he's the guy. He's our guy.
Sorry, I was trying to get onto the track of who's the next guy. So who are our real candidates? Like,
some of the ones
we talked about Jamie Joseph, but can I throw some names at you that it might be a little bit?
Jamie Joseph is the obvious one because he's already coaching the All Blacks 15. Yeah. He's already in New Zealand. He has international experience. He seems like the guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, what are the other options?
John Mitchell.
Just coached the England women's team to a World Cup.
Could he be an assistant?
Would he want to be an assistant at this point in his career? How old is John Mitchell?
I don't know. Younger than Fozzie.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe he, like, because he's been an assistant with a few different teams and stuff like that.
He's been all around the place. He's coached in South Africa. He's coached in Australia. He's coached now in England. He's been an assistant. He's been a head coach. He's done everything.
Okay. Look, this is strange. Does somebody take Wayne Smith off the couch?
When are we going to let this guy relax?
We're not going to. He just...
Didn't he have a cancer at one point? Yet they're still fucking like dragging him back in or something?
Rolling him out there. He's not. You don't think he's up to it?
If he is, surely it's in some kind of advisory role.
Maybe 1 or 2 games a year comes out and gives it.
Like, I think if Joe Schmidt's involved, I think that's the level of his involvement as well.
Yeah, right.
Because Joe Schmidt, I haven't seen it from the horse's mouth, but I saw it like secondary reports saying like, nah, Joe Schmidt's saying he doesn't want it. Go back to the Fozzie Hansen combo.
Yeah, Hansen back in there. Not Scott Hansen.
The good Hansen. Oh, man. That would be...
Those guys are still coaching.
Yeah, they are. But not doing that well in Japan, I think. Their team's not been doing that good.
They're on the sake too much.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. If you were Steve Hansen, would you want to risk... It's like Warren Gatland going back to Wales. You know, you're already kind of here. You won the World Cup in 15. You
were the favourite going into 19.
19, you didn't win it. Oh, well, you know, can't win them all.
Yeah. But you had a great record as an assistant.
Still had a cracking record overall. Would you want to risk sullying that by going back in?
Money, 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 money.
Does he need the money, though?
Money. yeah, everyone likes a little bit more. No matter how wealthy you are, you'd like a little bit more. Wouldn't you like a little bit more?
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. And you're stacked.
Why do you think I take sponsorships from people who make us do erotic, like, novel readings?
That was a real low point last year for anybody.
Sponsor the podcast. Link down below.
Don't make us do... Yeah, that was a strange one. When you didn't read it before you got here and you had to read
it. I didn't read it before I took the money. Oh, that was the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't think Shag can do it?
I'm just
trying to think of people who are actually...
I mean, New Zealand rugby would be stupid not to consider him.
Vern Cotter's not going to do it. He's leaving.
He was another one who was kind of in the conversation, wasn't he? But he said that he'd kind of verbally already agreed with the Reds. Maybe they didn't have it on paper, but he wasn't going to...
And he probably thought that I'm very much an outside skinny here.
Go back on his word. Yeah, he might have risked the Reds gig if he'd really gone all in on the All Blacks gig. If he's already verbally agreed to them and then says, oh, actually, I'll just see if I can get this All Blacks job. And then, oh, if I don't get it, I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
They might move on and find their own guy as well. So, like,
it's a weird shift.
So many other New Zealanders,
he's
going to Queensland.
It's just better weather or something. Okay, who else is
Gatlin's name gets mentioned, but that's that. No,
no, I'm leaving the country if he comes back.
go to Queensland.
Yeah, exactly. Who else could be, what's the word I'm looking for? Viable? Not viable. Eligible. That's the word. Who else could coach it? What are the other names? Is that it?
There are
Joe
others.
Schmidt won't do it because he's still contracted to Australia.
Yeah. And I think it goes against his whole, I don't want to coach full-time away from my family anymore.
So then it's really Jamie. So let's assume that...
If it's Jamie without Tony, do you still want Jamie is one of the big questions, because they are such a dynamic duo.
It's a real kick in the nuts. And it's a great shame, and it's a fucking poor timing from everybody involved. Poor planning. Because we could have got... Because apparently Razor was trying to get Tony Brown into the coaching setup last year. So they were having conversations.
Right.
You heard this, yeah?
Yeah, I heard. I heard.
But he was like, no, I can't. I'm signed on.
Yeah. I heard vagaries that, like, the reason Tony went to South Africa was because he wasn't entirely thrilled with the way things were going here in NZ. So,
Well, he was only going to get opportunities at Super Rugby level. Mm. And nobody's excited about Super Rugby right now. Like, being an assistant coach for us. Could he have been a head coach anywhere?
I don't know. He feels like one of the guys who seems to prefer the next level down.
Yeah. You never know. Mm. Like, has he been given the opportunity at this stage of his career?
He coached the Highlanders for like a year, didn't he? And did he coach the Sunwolves for a year or something?
Or are we just blowing... Because he's creative. He comes out with interesting, quirky shit. Maybe he wouldn't be the answer to all our problems and our woes either.
He's got a way of unlocking a backline, though.
Mm.
Which, when you look at the All Blacks currently, that's what you want. You feel like you need a bit of that Tony touch.
So let's assume that the obvious happens, right? And Jamie Joseph gets the job.
Mm.
What does the coaching ticket look like?
How many of those existing guys stay on, if any?
The only one that I would feel comfortable with is Jason Ryan.
Yeah, because the forwards don't really seem to be a problem.
And he's already shown his worth and his ability to make an impact under a different coach before as well.
Mm.
I don't think it was a stellar year for our forwards last year. I thought we looked as though we were about to step up and be a really, really dominant looking forward pack.
And then we didn't show up. Like, we showed that we weren't at the same level as the Box, but they've shown that to a lot of other teams. But then, like, even against Scotland, who are a team, when I went into that match thinking,
we should actually.
We'll crunch them at scrum, and then that'll give the backs opportunity. Didn't happen.
Who knows the state of that team at that time? If the feedback has been this poor, if it was an absolute fucking disarray on tour, and you know players refusing to leave their rooms and all sorts of things, no surprises that you know the forward pack gets affected by that as well. So. Under a coach who's instilled like a positive, good culture, high performance culture where players are able to buy in and accept the structures and stuff, maybe that's the sort of environment he needs to be in. And obviously under Fozzie, despite some of those really poor results, it was still a happy playing group, you know, as evidenced by them lobbying to get him to stay as coach. So Jason Ryan is the only one that if they flick him, then they flick him. You know, it's unfortunate for him. But yeah, I'm not particular. And then it was basically Scott Hansen was the only other one that was sticking around because Holland was leaving.
Holland was leaving anyway.
Holland's already left.
The Holland and McDonald stories were, again, part of the things that did not reflect well on...
Liam McDonald's almost like the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, what's going on there? And then we're like, oh no, it's all right, he's... Yeah, Razor's a genius. I'm glad they handled this quite maturely. Like,
yeah, they went on the front foot.
And... Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, they just don't see eye to eye about things. That's good. I'm glad that happens in a workplace. Like, but it's strange for a bloke who probably has always had aspirations to be part of that coaching ticket to last a matter of months.
It's such a strange one for us as New Zealanders to think of anyone being like, nah, I don't want to work for the All Blacks anymore.
I don't want to work for Razor anymore. And that's what Liam McDonald did and Holland did. Yeah. And then the fucking players did. So there's so many unknowns about what the fuck was actually happening in that camp. Obviously, the product on the field did not look cohesive. And that has to be a product of the off-field chemistry. I know we got all the fucking, you know, the media little 15-minute docos of them touring and going to fucking... NBA games and stuff like that, and football games in Argentina, but it was not that we didn't get to peek behind the part of the kimono and really see the
Do
juice.
Do you think it's cliques within the group? Cliques?
There are cliques within any...
Any workplace.
Yeah, 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 100%. Oh, man, I thought for a second I hadn't pressed record.
It's recording.
It's recording.
The misery.
Yeah, I'm sure there were. I mean, there are always going to be guys who like to hang out more than other guys and all that sort of stuff. But you still want them to be fully on the same page as a team at the end of the day. Mm. Yeah, but fucking crazy, crazy, crazy thing to happen.
What's your prediction for the new coach? Do you think we see pain before we see progress?
My initial reaction when you said that question was, fuck that, straight progress. Lightning, incredible performances.
2015's back on the menu, boys.
Off the bat, nothing but excellence. Because they're the All Blacks.
Mm.
And that's what someone who... It's what's been bred into us. The All Blacks are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And they, even if they lose... You have to be outrageously good to beat them.
Yeah.
You know? And they never get pumped. You know, the old thing was like the All Blacks never lose. They just sometimes run out of time. Like.
Maybe we need to change our expectations.
No, I can't. But I just don't. We've gone through this before. But I think a big part of their success comes down to that pressure from
high
the public.
Expectations.
Yeah, high expectations.
I remember you talking about Welsh fans in the past.
Because they just don't have any expectations. Like, oh, the boys played well today. We got,
and you were like, fuck that. No, I can't accept that. I will not accept that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was when they fucking had Warburton and Tipperick and what's that, Jamie George and stuff like that.
Yeah.
These guys, and, you know, Shane Williams.
Yeah.
They had a fucking awesome team.
Yeah.
And then we still couldn't beat us. And like, oh, well, we played well. I was like...
I think South African fans in some way have similar expectations to us. Because I remember when I first started my channel, it was pre-Russi. And I was... Even when I had like a few hundred followers, I would get the odd email from South African fans.
Okay, we're not
who
bad.
Were just like, I swear we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
If they fucking stop, you know, if they let us choose like whatever players from around the world, or if they got rid of this prick Kusia or whatever, if we had a better coach, we could be fucking good.
Yeah,
it sounds like kind of what we're channeling at the moment.
But look, yeah, I want, essentially, I don't, all those things are true, but at the end of the day, I still want them to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Like, who we got coming over initially?
Oh, we've got this new Nations League thing. So we've got the French B team again.
Yeah. What a nice warm up. I want us to pump the shit out of them then. Mm. And then...
You know, one thing that sticks in my craw is the fact that we're never going to see Razor All Blacks with Richie Maunga.
Ah, his golden boy.
Yeah.
The one...
Because he was hankering for Richie the whole fucking time. He got the job and he was like, let's bend those rules, boys. Let's get the foreign players eligible.
Exactly. No,
let's see if we can get Richie out of his contract for Japan to come back. He was like, nah, he's staying in Japan. All right, well, we'll sign him. He finally got the guy signed to come back for this year.
Yeah.
And he loses the job. So we never get to see that.
You didn't answer my question. Tell me who's if Jamie gets it, in the world where Jamie gets it, which is what we're kind of expecting.
Know.
Gun to your head, who's on the coaching ticket?
You go, for the love of God, get Joe Schmidt in there as your brains trust, either him or Wayne Smith.
But like as a full-time assistant or just like a... They're not going to be full-time assistants. They won't do it. It's too much. It's a job.
Mm.
They don't want a job. They want to work freaking... They want an advisory capacity once in a while sort of thing.
Yeah.
So they can, you know, pay for another boat.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
No idea? Okay. This is what I reckon.
Who's your dream team?
It's not my dream team. This is what I think.
Oh, you think it's going to happen. Okay.
Okay. Well...
The realistic team.
The realistic team.
Dramatic pause.
Jamie Joseph is head coach. Okay. Jason Ryan is forward coach.
Okay.
Now this is a name I don't know if I want to say, but I think it could happen. Corey Jane as backs coach.
He's been doing lots of different roles. He's done like defense coach.
Yeah, high ball defense and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is going to blow your socks off.
I'm not wearing any socks.
keep them on. Saves time. All right. Now this, nah, I don't think this is my other name. Kidwell.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about him as defense coach.
Yeah, as defense coach. Because is he down with the Highlanders?
Yeah.
Now that's an out there. I don't know if that fills me with John's amount of confidence, but that's. Or I'd like to have John Mitchell in there somehow. Because he's just been there and done that in that environment, you know.
Kidwell, he's done a good job. So
people
as well.
Are probably overseas people going, "Who the fuck is Kidwell?" Kidwell is not a rugby union player.
Yeah, another leaguey.
He's a leaguey, former Kiwi captain. No, I don't know if he was ever the captain.
He was with the Checker, I think, for a while with the Pumas.
Yeah, I think he was, but a really, really great league player. Played for the Kiwis. Did a very, very famous high shot, which was absolutely adored because you were allowed to do it back in those days on Big Willie Mason. You remember the shot?
I don't remember the shot, but I know who Willie Mason is, a big unit.
Yeah. So, David Kidwell. Because he's been sort of roaming around doing defense coaching and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that is a fucking inexperienced team. Oh God, it doesn't fill me with confidence, but that's who you could get.
Yeah,
those are guys who could sign on. None of them are head coaches apart from Jamie Joseph.
Yeah, unless you get Mitchell in there, but
yeah, none of them have had that experience. That makes me nervous, but that's what it could look like, eh?
There's potential there for sure.
Could it be great? But then if you look at that coaching ticket versus the Bok coaching ticket.
They got a fucking star-studded fucking lineup, those guys.
Yeah.
Russie just brought in the top guys. Yeah. Ireland, England, New Zealand, like just fucking get the top guys. Get Nienaber in, man. fucking South African touch.
Get him.
Maybe we shouldn't look for just Kiwi coaches.
Well,
Ronan O'Gara, when he went down to the Crusaders, had a good impact with Razor.
Why don't we get Ronan? Can we get him? Does he want to?
He's head coaching La Rochelle. So.
And he'd be getting paid an absolute packet.
Well, they didn't get down here.
Yeah, but what a challenge. Shit. That all Kiwi. Corey Jane.
You don't sound thrilled.
But I think he could be in the lineup. Who else is there amongst it? What's that big fuck off dude? Used to play for the Highlanders. Had a couple of tests.
I'm picturing his face.
Play for Southland.
McIntosh?
Is it McIntosh?
Yeah.
He could be part of it. He could be Ford's coach if you've got no Jason Ryan.
Surely Jason Ryan stays.
It sounds very much like a Super Rugby coaching ticket.
I don't know.
Oh.
Interesting times to come.
Interesting
for New Zealand
times.
Rugby.
Indeed. All right. I think we're not going to solve anything here, are we?
No.
We'll wait with bated breath and we can say all the same shit next week and you'll love it again. Well, we can't do this every week.
No.
We can't. We need to talk about actual rugby.
Actual rugby.
And actual rugby is happening and France is throwing everyone out. That's what I've heard.
There's been a few different interesting kind of selection calls from some of the coaches.
Yeah.
Like Scotland are like, no Doohan this time. Like, remember, Doohan missed that game against us. So it was kind of already like, maybe no Doohan.
And Doohan looks so world class.
They should pick him to play England. He does really well against England.
Doohan. Doohan van. Doohan van der Merwe. Doohan van der Merwe.
France are like, no Pinot.
Yeah, no Pinot and no.
No Aldrete.
And what's the. Oh, this is a bad descriptor, but who's the black guy? Plays in the midfield.
Oh, Fiku.
Oh, I love Fiku.
Yeah, I love a bit of Fiku.
Yeah.
All the guys in their 28, 29, 30.
It was just
on the way out. Then Uini Atoni had a fucking heart attack.
Poor bastard.
Had to retire.
Did he actually have a heart attack?
Well, there's some kind of cardiac event anyway.
Oh, God. He's a monster as
Ronan O'Gara was like in tears talking about it in a press conference.
Because he was at La Rochelle, wasn't he? New Zealand born?
Yeah, went to Wesley College.
Yeah. Oh, what a... How many tests... How old is he?
35.
Okay, so... I'm glad it didn't take him in his... but you're still... It's still... good cropping years. Yeah, but a horrific thing to actually happen. Mm. But at least he got to make a really good living for a long period of time, and hopefully he's set himself up for and can now focus on just getting his health right.
What's fucked up is he tried to retire a few years ago, and Gaultier knew like French tight head depth is a bit light, so he talked him into keeping on for a while. Although, I mean, I'm sure he would have kept playing club level anyway, so this may not be any kind of like deciding factor if his heart had issues anyway, but yeah.
That's a shame.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hope he's...
Because he was such a... When he used to come on the field or if he was starting, you'd just be like...
Jeez, he's big, yeah.
He's a different breed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He would look like a different specimen.
Yeah.
I saw a thing with... Joe Marler was talking about his best props of that he's ever played against and stuff, and they brought up Weenie, and he was like, basically, and there was all this hype about, oh fuck, these guys are gonna smash us, they're huge, they're all massive. And he said, whenever I played against them, no one ever went forward, no one ever went back, we just stayed still. And then he used to always get massive props from his coaches, being like, you fucking handle them and all that sort of stuff. And he's like, it was bullshit. We just basically had a gentleman's that neither of us wanted to work particularly hard. And
no way.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
He was like, yeah, we just had a gentleman's and he was like, is that match fixing? He was saying it with a little bit of like tongue in cheek. Joe Marler has turned into quite the celebrity in the UK.
Has he?
Yeah, he's had a couple of interesting podcasts and stuff like that, but he was on this massive series called Traitors, and he was a starring role. It was a reality television series, Celebrity Traitors.
Okay.
And it was huge in the UK.
Really?
And he was a big part of it. Mm. He was part of the very crucial events at the very end of it.
Well, he's got a good personality for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and he killed his personality.
But the amount of guys, like, I don't know if you saw, but Squidge has had a video out the other day saying about how he's been kind of burning himself out.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, like, he just talked about how the rugby landscape has changed so much from when he started the channel.
You got a shout out.
I did. He said, it's not just me and 2 cents anymore. But fucking every rugby player retires now seems to start a frigging podcast. Like, Marla's on there. Danny Kerr's on there. Dan Bigger's on there. Like, fucking, a bunch of Irish guys are on there. The amount of guys.
And then there's two fuckwits who never played rugby at any decent level in West Auckland. And you're watching them.
I know.
What are you doing with your life?
Exactly right. But yeah.
Well, you might be listening to us because this is called
2 cents Gets Distracted.
It's a rugby podcast. Rugby's greatest podcast.
That's our new thing. Rugby's greatest podcast. Don't ask for any supporting facts about that.
Exactly. We've never won an award.
We might have won a 2CG.
Well, no, we've never won a 2CG.
We should nominate Rugby's greatest podcast and give it to ourselves this season.
Probably still wouldn't win.
We probably wouldn't.
Man, the postage freaking bill that I had from sending out all those
2CGs. Oh, horrendous.
Horrific, really was.
Horrendous.
But
yeah, the French have left out a few of the veterans.
Yeah.
Ireland, like, Andy Farrell's always pretty kind of cagey with his selections and that he tends to
he's very, very conservative.
He's conservative, but like Hugo Keenan, his regular fullback's got a broken thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like three of his starting loose head props are all injured, so he's called in some fucking 20-year-old guy because he's running out of players. Like Robbie Henshaw's injured. Bundy Aki swore at the refs the other day in a URC match and got himself suspended for the first three games of the Six Nations.
Three games for telling a ref?
Four games overall. One of them URC, and he had three Six Nations games. So
what did he say?
We just gave them a bollocking about the referee. Yeah, so
he must have called them into disrepute, like saying you're cheating or something to get that sort of ban.
Yeah, so verbally abusing a match official.
Fucking hell.
So yeah, he's had to...
Didn't old Sexton call when a game he wasn't even
disgrace
playing,
or something?
You're fucking disgrace. Who did he say that to? Was it Joubert or someone like that? He said it to? It
wouldn't have been Joubert, but yeah, it was one of the French guys.
All right.
So.
Pew 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 pew.
Yeah. So Andy's had to bring in a few younger guys, which I don't have a problem with. I think it's good.
I think they need that.
Yeah, it forces his hand a little bit.
Speaking of trajectories.
Hmm.
They've just been, like, it's been good enough to, like, not need any dramatic sort of changes or anything like that. But it is, ever so slightly every year.
Last year's such a hard one, though, because Andy's off with the Lions.
They still won the Six Nations last year, didn't they?
France won.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
They were winning, and then France flogged them in Dublin.
Yeah, that's right.
Because remember, France had lost that match to England.
How many years did they win in a row before that? 2 years in a row after that, before that? Or more than that? Yeah. So, 2024... They won 2023.
Yeah, and then France won.
Did they win 2022?
Oh, geez, no. France won that one.
They beat us in 2022.
Yeah.
That was in that series that happened.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, so he's been forced to blood a few youngsters, which I think is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll benefit them longer term, even if it means a tough road to the Six Nations. But last year's hard because he's off with the Lions, not coaching them in the Six Nations, which they lose. And then he's off with the Lions when they play Portugal and Georgia in the middle of the year when they blooded a bunch of guys when the Lions were away. And then end of year, he plays us first, which is probably a bit rough.
Mm.
We beat them in the ugly game in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
And then they had the I think
they played right against Australia.
The South Africa game is the one that's still kind of the haunting. It's still lingering.
That forward performance was really, really
bad. They just got monstered at scrum time. And
they don't have anyone else better that they can call on in the forward.
They had Porter and Furlong and whatnot in that game. Yeah. So. But it's funny the perspective, man, because I was talking to Graham from Sports Forecast the other day and he was like, well, Ireland could have won that game even though they got fucking annihilated. They had 12 guys on the field. Like, they weren't that far off.
Sure, that was a painful game to watch.
It wasn't the best.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's not the way I want rugby to go.
No, that wasn't fun.
Yeah, we got so much. I got so much shit in particular.
I got shit about it in my match review for calling it a strange game.
Yeah.
It was a strange fucking game. Even Sia Khaleesi called it strange, you fuckwits.
Shots fired. Yeah. It was a shit game. That's really what it was. It was not enjoyable. Not fun to watch. That's one I want to talk to you about. They're having the conference about the shape of the game that's going to be coming up shortly. But we should talk more about the Six Nations. Who else have we not spoken
about? Are England the kind of hot shot flyers? Or are they a bit overrated after last year? You're rating them really high.
I'm rating them. I think they've been the one that have been on the upward side. I
was talking to Graham.
I picked them to win last year.
You did. Yeah. And they only lost. The only game they lost last year, I think, was the opener to Ireland. Mm. And they literally won every other game throughout the year.
Yeah.
Like, they were only a point or something, or point or two off last season's Six Nations because nobody got the slam. They beat France, which they weren't supposed to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because, I don't know, there are some who are looking at...
Look at that.
That's fucking disgusting looking.
I really tried to get some head on it there.
There's nothing. But yeah, there's a perspective out there. A couple of years ago, England, you know, came here.
Mm.
They had a couple of narrow losses against us.
Yeah, we were lucky.
There were a bunch of games where they lost by like a point or two or something,
that
right?
That speaks to their trajectory.
And they had a shit year. And then there's last year where there's a few games where they, similar results, but they got the win on the right side of those small margins.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're a great team. But then I did that video about the All Blacks and Razor and whatnot, and our fucking numbers were like that.
And there's this game.
England, like just a... I wasn't looking at England stats, but just for comparison, they were fucking nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
nice.
Yeah.
They look like a more potent, cohesive, and all-round quality football team.
Mm.
Like, very few weak areas.
Mm.
I think probably right now, as much as it pains me to say, the top billing game in rugby right now, if you wanted to have the best talent on the field, and, you know, it would be England, South Africa.
Which is going to happen this year as well.
Mm. So it's on us, even though we're second ranked right now and all that sort of stuff. I think part of us being second ranked is the fucking French just overinflated us.
Mm.
Well, not that we played that well, but we got all those sweet points.
Yeah, we got some sweet world rankings points because France sent their C team to us.
Yeah. But I don't think at all we're the second ranked team in the world, especially the current state that we're in, the disarray that we're in. Mm. But yeah, I think the game that you want to watch as an All Black, not All Black fan, as a rugby fan at the moment.
The box up against England.
Although hopefully it's an exciting game. I think the English are playing like a pretty entertaining brand of rugby. I hope that the box continue to sort of delve a little bit more into the pot of what Tony Brown can offer them. I felt like they did that earlier in the season, and then the season went on, they kind of put it in the pocket.
They've shown that they've got multiple ways of playing the game.
Yeah, but
like when they get the instructions, just scrum the shit out of them, they can do that.
Yeah, but that seems to be the A plan.
You reckon?
Ireland.
I think that was Rusty just trying to make a point.
What? That it was a point that we can play a really fucking boring game that's going to turn
you to death.
We're going to turn away fans. We can
win games like that.
God.
I
really liked some of the games they played. I love their attack. I've got some great players that can attack. Just fucking attack. Use the ball.
England. France. Ireland. Those are your three favourites.
England, France, Ireland.
Then you got a gap, Scotland. And then you got a gap, and it's Italy, Wales.
I can tell you what my order is going to be this year. I think England's going to win it. I think France is going to come second. I think Ireland is going to come third. I think Scotland will beat one of those top three teams that still managed to come fourth.
It does look like one of those years where no one's going to get a slam.
Yeah.
It looks like someone's going to lose to somebody somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And
like France's advantage is they have England and Ireland at home.
Yeah.
But then they have Scotland away, which you feel like for France, they could be like, that could be like their banana skin game. I don't know.
What is going on with Italy at the moment? Do they have a squad that is on the right? Have they got players that are there retained? Or
yeah, I mean, it's still the same core squad. They've got a few guys out injured, some of their kind of key guys, like one of their props and one of their looses, one of their backs. So
who's like, five and who's six? Then?
I think the fact that Italy have got Wales, I think they're at home in Rome this year, so Wales are up against it for the spoon.
Yeah, right. Poor old Wales. Poor old Wales.
And then there's just Scotland, who are just like
right in the middle. Mm. The meat and the sandwich constantly. And a great result for them is, well, do we ever see them pulling it out of the hat and getting it all together on the page? Like, they've got, you know,
I feel like every year they've got like one game where they're like,
Finn Russell is highly rated, but he's also got, part of his problem is like, despite he can be a match winner, he can do amazing stuff, but he can also be a match loser and have the brain explosions and stuff like that. So, and if he doesn't have the players, the quality of likes that he has when he's playing for the Lions around him to save his bacon when he's having a brain explosion, then those brain farts are very, very costly.
I think the good thing for the Scots at the moment is most of their guys are fit. Like everyone else has got some injuries somewhere, like the Irish props and the French with Antonio being out there shifting the squad a bit younger. And Scotland squad, I think, is largely looking more or less.
I'm gonna ask you a question. I'll ask you a question on each team and tell me a breakout star from each team that we may not know that much about that hasn't really, really emerged. They may have played a test here or a test there.
Oh Jesus!
Are you going to be able to do this, or are you still in China mode?
I've missed a lot of the squad shit. I've just been looking at Scotland and Ireland today. Ireland, I can tell you, this guy Edwin Adogbo. He's a big fucking unit of a lock. He's uncapped at the moment, so I don't know that Andy will play him.
Yeah, he's probably going to have to wait.
But if he fucking plays against Italy, the dude's a unit.
Edwin Adogma.
Adogbo.
Edwin Adogbo.
Yeah.
It's a strange name.
It's not a strange name. It's maybe not the most Irish sounding name you've ever heard, but
Edwina.
Edwin.
Oh, Edwin. I think it's Edwina.
No, Edwin.
I knew an Edwina. Edwin Dogba.
Adogbo.
Edwin Adogba.
Adogbo, I think.
Edwin Adogbo.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Classic Irish name.
Yep.
Okay.
Liam McConnell, if he gets a game for Scotland, I think he might have picked up a knock. He played in the USA game.
Mm-hmm.
Flanker.
Was that the one that was played at Eden Park?
No. That was against Samoa.
That was a very strange day when I was driving around. Yeah. I was somewhere near Eden Park and I saw somebody in a Scotland jersey.
What the fuck's going on here?
Yeah. He was getting ready for game day, didn't he?
Yeah. But he's this really kind of high work rate, dynamic flanker. Yeah. So if he gets any game time, I think he might have picked up a knock in training. Yeah. But if he gets a game, I'll be excited to see how he goes.
France. There must be some hot French talent coming through. Isn't there a winger that they've got? Not BLBRA, another winger who pushed Pino out.
Yes, one of their uncapped wingers. His name escapes me at the moment, but I saw his highlights. And in the top 14, his fucking try-scoring stats are outrageous.
A player that we can't name is good.
Is it Dreon? I think it might be Dreon. Gael Dreon. They dropped Gael Fiku and brought in Gael Dreon. I'm pretty sure it's happening for Toulon. He's got a cracking try-scoring record.
All right, we're looking forward to seeing him. Wales.
I haven't even looked at their squad yet.
Italy.
Yeah, I haven't looked at their squad either yet.
Okay, right. Okay, who is going to be the team that has the greatest fall from grace, and who's going to be the overachiever? This is tough because you're not right in the thick of your game right now, are you?
No, I spent too much time traveling around China with my mum.
Hey, mum.
Yeah.
How you doing, Dylan?
She won't watch this podcast. Even Gazza wouldn't watch it.
You can't watch it now.
Mum. Mum just kept telling me. She told me a couple of times during the trip when we were talking about rugby stuff for some reason, about how you came to my dad's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, I knew this guy. Like, where the hell do I know this guy from?
I gave her a big hug when I came in. I was like, dude, how the fuck are you?
She's like, who the hell is this joker?
No.
No, I've seen him somewhere.
No, I just did. I'm tiny. I did the podcast. Yeah, she gave me a look like, I know you, but I
don't know where I know you from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it was lovely. I went to, it was, the funeral was very nice. I didn't know your brother was so good looking.
Was he?
No. Oh, anyway, yeah, him and his brother both spoke, and they spoke beautifully. Both of you spoke very, very well.
Scott needs to lose a couple of kegs. So I do as well.
He had one funny line where he said something about when they met, and then they had two very handsome sons.
There you go.
Yeah, you got laughed. No, it was a great funeral. Great songs.
Yeah, he loves the old Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, at all funerals now, the funerals I go to, you get the old photo montage.
Oh, yes.
And your father picked some great songs. He had Yellow Submarine.
And All Shook Up by Elvis.
Yeah, crackers. Absolute crackers. Mm. Mm.
It's kind of ruined those songs for me now, because I heard Yellow Submarine in the car, and I was like, oh, it's a bit depressing.
It's a great song, though. Yeah. It really worked. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to turn this into my dad's funeral recap.
Yeah, well, then I had to go to... Yeah, then we had two deaths at the end of last year. Obviously, Gaz passed away. Then my sister-in-law passed away, sadly, of cancer, which was devastating for our family. But she wasn't part of the rugby universe in any way or shape or form, but that was sad. Anyway, how did we get onto such a downer?
So
speaking of downers, Wales.
I still think France for the title.
Yes. You reckon?
They got Ireland at home.
Oh, yeah.
They got England at home.
All right, so the draw's going their way.
I think so. But, I mean, they had the draw against them last year when they lost to England. They had to go to Dublin and win, and they fucking did it.
DuPont is not injured.
Intermac is injured. So they got the old Jelly Bear.
Intermac's always injured.
They got Jelly Bear.
Jelly Bear. Well, I think DuPont is more important than Intermac. I don't think Intermac was actually peak form anyway.
No, he looked a bit shit in the November tests.
Yeah. I didn't think he was right there. Not the form
shit
that,
by his own international crazy standards, not by class. Like my sitting on my fat ass standards.
By my fat ass standards,
he looked incredible.
I'm sure he can do a touch fighter a little bit better than you.
Yeah.
Just a touch.
Just quietly.
But yeah, he didn't look at that world-class standard that he has before. But maybe he's looking to peak for the... When is the next World Cup? Next year?
Yeah, next year.
2027.
You can already register for the pre-sale of tickets.
Ba-boom. Australia, you going to head over?
I think so.
Boom.
We should go. 2 cents on tour.
2 cents on tour.
Distracted.
Distracted. 2 cents. Tour. We've got to work on the name. We've got to really workshop that a little bit more. So, what are we saying? So,
I'll say France.
England? Ireland. You're going to say Ireland. You can't help it. You just can't help it. Or are you brave enough to say Scotland?
Ooh, every time I get my hopes up for Scotland, they fucking dash them. Just dash them.
Because they play that one game, you go, fuck, they're world class.
These guys can be anybody.
Yeah.
And they lose to Italy, you're like, yeah, they could lose to anybody as well.
Yeah, that was their big shot to win it, beat us last year. They really should have beaten us that game. We were ripe for the taking. Squad in disarray.
Yeah. Apparently, literally.
Yeah. They should have taken it. And then they looked like... Were they in
France? So you reckon England to win it, and I reckon France to win it, and the Irish fans are going, what about us?
You want to say Ireland second, England third. Despite...
The stats tell me England will be second or potentially first. The stats look fucking incredible. Their stats are amazing from last year. Honestly. I love the stats. The stats are hard to fight against.
You're a stats man.
Sexy Steve. Sexy Steve Borthwick.
He is. He's got a very powerful sort of brow.
But he just gets so much shit for being boring, but he does so much attacking rugby recently.
I think it was quite sensible, and he set a really, really good platform for him in the first couple of years. He was like, we're going to do the simple, the basics really, really well. We're not going to be the flashiest team.
Yeah.
But then as he's had that real base, he's been able to add on.
That's why people are saying they sacked Razor too soon, because they're saying Andy Farrell took 2 years to get things right. Steve Borthwick's taken a couple of years. Razor didn't get the chance.
Well, yeah. Borthwick wasn't coaching the All Blacks. Yeah, and maybe this is the big kick in the ass we need as a public to be like, things have changed. We really need to accept it now. And this is our last chance to be in denial for one more time, perhaps. Anyway, so you still haven't said who's second?
I'll say Ireland.
Is it England third, despite the trajectory they're on, how good they look?
Despite the stats, despite Sexy Steve.
So then England third?
Yeah. Scotland, Italy, Wales. I'd love to say Wales, Italy, but the fact that it's in Rome.
You're like the Owen Farrell, the Andy Farrell, Owen Farrell, of the coach Farrell. Owen, Andy, I almost forgot.
Owen's the player who plays currently, and Andy's the former player.
Andy Farrell, sorry. You're like the...
I'm conservative.
You're the Andy Farrell of like...
Picks. I don't have the left field ones.
Yeah.
So you're going fucking England, Scotland, France.
I'm going England, France, Ireland.
Okay.
I want Ireland to win.
Yeah.
They're the team I support. But I just think that they're like a lobster getting boiled in a pot at the moment. They just don't realize, and it's just going... The squad's getting older and older and older. They still don't quite have that number 10. And how many more years what's the effectiveness of Jamison Gibson Park going to continue to be as he ages, as we all age? Because how old is he? 42? 52? Judging from the hairline. What is he?
He's in his 30s, that's for sure.
Yeah. The whole team has a very high age profile.
Yeah, it does.
And then if that four pack performance against South Africa wasn't just indicative of...
Yeah, I don't think you can compare that.
But I'm saying if it wasn't just indicative of how good Scotland, South Africa are, but how bad Ireland are as a forward front row, then that's a worry, Or maybe those guys have just had a really bad off day, which...
I just don't think you compare anyone to South Africa at the moment and go, that's how good you are.
Everyone Nobody else got pumped like that in the forwards.
But I don't think South Africa tried to do that to anyone else.
They were just happy to make a point there.
That's my take.
Ooh, speaking of, who's that big fuck off fullback who's got the turning circle of the Queen Mary?
Freddie Stewart.
He wrote a piece or something about his thoughts on the aerial highball, and I 100% agreed with him.
What did he say?
He said that he thinks it should be illegal for people to go up and
slap it down.
Like if you're going up into the air,
you have to try and make a legitimate catch.
I hate this flailing up and just going in. It just turns it into a fucking lottery. Like, and it's far more dangerous.
The rule for that in like Aussie rules or Gaelic football? Are you allowed to just slap it?
I think in Aussie rules you can, but
okay,
it's not in
because there's just so much of the game in
rugby
rules.
League. You have to be making a genuine.
Oh, really?
You have to be going up higher than the ball.
Maybe it's another law we need to implement from rugby league.
Yeah. I'd like to see
just get rid of two more players on the field.
That's slapping it back. Tell me how it makes it.
Let's make it uncontested scrums and just get rid of those lineouts.
Pesky flankers and stuff. Put the players back 10 metres as well. Yeah,
10 metre offside line.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Maybe limit the number of phases they're allowed to carry.
Six at a time. Only 2 men in a ruck.
Maybe only 1 point for a conversion.
You're basically outlining all the differences, which there are a lot of. Okay? But I don't like the flailing bit and just going up and like it sucks. Yeah, it really sucks. It's so not fun to watch. I like someone getting clean ball getting
there's something quite satisfying about seeing a fullback or whatever just jumping up and taking a really nice clean catch. Like, that's a skill. Yeah. You should show that off.
Or it's actually something really, really exciting, satisfying about someone going up and your team puts up a box kick and your player goes up and does a clean catch over that player.
Shit, yeah.
That's great.
It's cracking stuff.
There's something really, really bullshitty and arsey about a player just going up and flinging an arm. And
yeah, or worse, when like two of them try to flail, neither of them gets it. It just bobbles and then,
And then
it's a scrum.
And the first player who fucked it up and knocked it on at that stage.
Excited about Super Rugby?
I'll watch it, but am I excited? You know, I
got an email about Super Rugby the other day from the folks at New Zealand Rugby. They were like, "Fantasy's back. Talk about it."
Were they for you 2 cents to talk about?
Because they've made some adjustments to the fantasy. Yeah. They've made some adjustments, so it's going to be improved. Like, the values of the players will change throughout the season, which I think is a good implementation.
All right, okay.
Because some guys who perform well should be higher, more expensive. Yeah. You shouldn't just be able to buy the suddenly new best player
all the time. Mm. Okay. Am I excited about it, was your question? I'm looking forward to watching a bit of footy. Like, we've had a break period. I've had my fast of rugby. Although
I was almost thinking, shit, maybe Tony's watched more rugby than me in January, but no, probably still not.
I haven't watched a full game or anything.
Yeah. I didn't watch much. I was in China. I didn't watch any while I was in China.
Are we going to continue our post-game prediction?
The URC was played at the weekend, if you want to go through it.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, let's go.
You already done with Super Rugby?
Oh, yeah.
It's not. We can talk about Super Rugby next week because it'll be a week closer.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be exciting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jamie Joseph.
Yes.
If they appoint him, who's going to coach the Highlanders? Stern Verne, only one more year with...
with the Blues.
What's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Les Kiss finishing up his time with Queensland Reds. It's a lot of the Wallabies. Moving parts.
Right. URC, week 11 at 18.
Yes, here we go. So I need to ask you questions as well as we go.
First game, Benetton played the Scarlets. I wish I had a photo of it. It was in the fog. It was the fog.
The fog
was fucking... honestly, there's a shot of the... you can't see the players.
So both of those teams...
just think that 2000 whatever final, the fog final.
Yeah. Okay, the battle in the fog between the shittiest Welsh team and a team that usually gets beaten from Italy. That is tough. Where did these teams both finish last year?
Did the Scarlets... I think the Scarlets scraped... ever by the skin of their nuts into the playoffs.
So
Benetton didn't make it.
So I'm assuming because it was so foggy and shit, it was in Wales.
Oh, no, it was in Italy. It was in Treviso.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what? I'm gonna go Scarlets.
By like a lot, a little, or?
It's not part of the guess.
Okay. It was a draw.
Ah, half a point.
20 points to 20.
Half a point.
Glasgow played Munster. In Scotland, in Glasgow.
Glasgow's did all right last year, yeah?
Yes, they were very good.
And Munster are usually...
under Clayton McMillan, new coach.
So I'll give it to Glasgow.
Yes, 31-22. Their home record's incredible. Mm. They beat Toulouse at home. Like,
ba-boom.
Home record's very, very good. The Lions played the Bulls down in South Africa in Joburg.
So that's in Lions' home.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear Rian crying? Yeah. Yes, I can. The Bills won.
Yeah, 52-17. They fucking pumped them.
Jeez.
I felt bad because I put the Lions... the Lions have been in decent form. I put them quite high in my power rankings and then they got thumped. So
they're going right down the power ranking.
We lost like 6 spots. The Sharks hosted the Stormers in Durban.
That's the Stormers.
Remember the Sharks?
Oh, no, that's the Sharks.
The Sharks sacked John Plumtree a few months ago.
I'll give it to the Stormers.
Stormers lost.
Ooh.
They've lost two. They've only lost 2 URC games this whole season, and it's their most 2 recent games against the Sharks.
Am I 2.5 out of 4?
Yes, you are. Zebre hosted Irish side Connacht. Zebre were on an 8-match losing run. Connacht were on about a 4 or 5-match losing run.
I'm going to give it to Connacht.
Yeah, 31-15. Got the bonus point of the death.
3.5.
Leinster, who I remember without a bunch of their internationals for the Six Nations, hosted Edinburgh, who are also without a number of Six Nations internationals.
Leinster.
28-20, so not like a hiding.
4.5.
The final goal kick for Edinburgh to get a losing bonus, because they lost by 8 points, they scored at the death, was a comedically bad attempt at conversion. It was basically like a grubber kick. You and I probably could have hit the ball better than that one.
Fantastic.
It was awful.
It's one of those ones when you hit that off the tee and you go, oh, jeez.
Jeez, I wish that wasn't on camera. Ulster played Cardiff up in Belfast.
Recent records of these teams?
Ulster are having a pretty good year, and Cardiff are the best of the Welsh teams.
It's not the same much, though, is it? Give it to Ulster.
Yeah, 21-14.
There we go.
And the Ospreys played the Dragons.
Ospreys are getting, they're on the ups.
Maybe getting the cut. That's Squidge's team.
Mm. Who's the better one? Which team has got a better record?
Oh, Ospreys are higher ranked than the Dragons for sure.
Yeah, Ospreys.
19-13. They led that game for so all 2 minutes. You scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.5.
Out of a possible 8?
Yeah. But boom.
Take it.
URC.
Jeez, man. If only I made my predictions before the rounds.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's the greatest thing about the this time of year, the post-match predictions.
So you got rugby to watch on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Six Nations kicks off.
Who's up first?
France are hosting Ireland.
Wow.
Thursday over there.
Fantastic.
Friday for us.
Waitangi Day.
Friday morning.
Good result.
Friday morning.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like a public holiday here in New Zealand on Friday.
Yeah, I forgot it's a public holiday.
Doesn't matter you, really, does it?
Every day's the fucking same for me. Weekend? What weekend?
Yeah.
France are hosting Ireland. 9:10 on Friday.
Pretty aces.
This is pretty good for us.
Yeah.
Then you got Italy hosting Scotland. Less appealing from a New Zealand time
Italy
perspective.
Italy hosting Scotland.
Yeah. What Sunday time? Morning, 3:10.
So there's no game on. Oh, so that's Sunday morning. So that's the Saturday game.
Yeah. It's literally a Thursday game over there. So it's a Friday game for us.
Stoked about the Thursday.
I think because of the Winter Olympics or something.
It really worked out well for us.
And then England, Wales, Sunday, 5:40 a.m. So the two weekend games.
There's nothing on a fucking Monday morning, is there?
No.
Fuck, I hate Monday morning games. They piss me off.
That's round two.
Ugh. Just stop it. For my sake. Think of me.
Change everything for Tony.
I don't want to be having to try and catch up on rugby on a Monday.
It's bad enough that I come over on a Monday.
Yeah. All right, fantastic. Well, that's good. That should be good. Looking forward to that. I reckon France is going to win that one. And then who's England playing?
They're hosting Wales.
Imagine if Wales got off.
That'd be
flight.
Fucking amazing. It'd do your predictions no good, though.
I wouldn't care. I'd be stoked.
Yeah,
I'd be absolutely chuffed for that result. It'd be great to see Wales return to some sort of form of glory.
Yeah, well, last year I thought Wales, if there's any team they show up for, it's England, and they got pumped.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I think they're probably going to get pumped.
And Scotland away to Italy?
Scotland will take care of the business.
Taking care of business
every day.
All right.
Well done. Fantastic.
That's a podcast
called
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
This is week 1.5.
Kind of. If you want to sponsor it, we'll read out stuff.
Really?
We'll show your company's logo. You can get Tony to say funny things about rugby's greatest championship.
Yeah. Or not that funny, potentially.
Things.
I'll say things. I'm looking forward to getting out of this room.
Yeah, it's quite stuffy.
It is.
I might change shirt now that Brandon sent backup clothes. Much needed.
That's pretty cool, eh?
Thank you, Brandon.
What's the name of that team?
That's the thing. I said Italian. MLS team because I can't fucking. It's the. Oh, just, the name.
I've got a
just
beach
gone.
Rugby shirt. Who are my guys?
He did tell me, and that's just totally escaped my mind.
So that's got 85% left on it. That's pretty good. Beach rugby. Didn't know there was a beach rugby league.
Mm. You're number 22, so you're a substitute. Virginia Institute for Sport Medicine. There you go.
This might be a bit clingy on me, to be fair, as well. Look at that.
You can squeeze into that. Well, Lid can.
That's what she'll want. Anyway, I'm sure it'll be one of those shirts that I is a one to aim for.
Well, you said you wanted to lose a few kicks.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you very much, Brandon. That's so cool. Very much appreciate you. Looks like a Spartan or somebody on the front.
Yeah.
You have to look. It's like a magic eye. You have to
That's
look
Poseidon.
At
He's got the trident.
Oh, I guess they're at a beach as well.
Makes sense to me.
Hey,
cheers, Brandon. Cheers to Mercury Forecast. Thank you
for
the viewers.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Cheers, Tony.
Good on you, brother. All right.
Hi,
bye-bye.